Well, good evening, everybody. It's nice when you're the speaker that you get a response. You forget that sometimes when you're sitting in your group. When I was asked to share tonight, I was asked a twofold question, really. If I would share how I met Christ or became a believer. And then akin to that was, how's Christ taken you from where you started to today? So that's kind of the core of what I like to talk about. I'd like to make some observations from John chapter 9. You can turn your Bibles there. And you know, I would say this, my testimony, it is about me, but less or more than that, it is really about Christ seeking and finding the lost. So at the end of the day, my testimony and your testimony is exactly the same. I mean, I was born where I was born, and I grew up in the environment I was in, but at the end of the day, like we heard this morning, and a lot of these songs refer to, it's Christ reaching out for those who will receive him. And I was 27 years old before I had that figured out, or I was ready to receive that. Well, while you're turning to John 9, I'd like to read a verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I might elaborate on that later as I go through. John chapter 9. Find it now. Maybe before I read this, I'll because I'm largely a stranger maybe to a lot of yous, I don't know if you really know who I am. I thought maybe I'd give you a little bit of a breakdown of my life. So I'm the third oldest of a family of nine. Eight of us live today. I had a brother that passed away when he was 15, 14, which affected me a lot, actually. Maybe I can talk about that another time, but the bottom line is there's eight of us, and I grew up in a good family. I mean, I was given everything that any Southern Ontario boy ever wanted or needed. So I grew up well, and in 2000 I was married at the age of 24 to Bev Roth, and in 2003 I went to Alabama. I met Christ actually at Fountain Correctional Institute in Alabama. That's where I met Christ. And I'll elaborate a little bit on that when I was 27. In 2011, I was widowed. And then in 2013, I met Edith, who you would know. And we were married in January 2014. So yeah, we courted for 6 months. And there's a story in that all too. I don't know how much of that I'll get time to say, but and then in 2018 and 19, I faced some hard things where I think God, he showed me, you know, the Bible talks about brokenness, and there's a little thing called spiritual pride that can creep into all of our lives, and we don't necessarily meet him at the door and say, hey, spiritual pride, welcome in. but he just kind of comes into our lives. And I think 2018-19, I realized that there were some things in my life that needed looking after. So that's kind of my life in a nutshell. And then we met here about, 2.5-3 years ago. So that's the condensed version of my life. In John chapter 9, the story of the blind man. And I like telling this story. It's probably my favorite Bible story in the whole Bible. Because I've often read this account and I often feel like the blind man. I think the blind man, he represents so much of who Ron was and is and could be. It's a story about blindness. And how well is the story? Do I need to read it? I'm trying to save time and not rush. Does everybody know the story of the blind man, John 9? More or less? Okay, we'll just quickly go through it then for the sake of time. It says, now Jesus passed by in verse 1, and he saw a man. And so notice here that Jesus saw the man, not the disciples. But in verse 2, the disciples saw him. And they said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me, while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And now you have in verse 16, obviously Jesus puts mud on his eyes and he goes to the pool of Siloam and washes. And in verse 16, we have the Pharisees step in here. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man was not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division amongst them. Maybe I'll just insert this here. If you do a casual reading, we only see one blind man, and that was the blind man. But as you stop and consider here, the disciples also lived in blindness. They had a social blindness. They had a wrong understanding of what God was doing in their community. And therefore, it led them to make wrong assumptions about what they saw. And that just sounds like your average guy living in 2021. Sometimes. The Pharisees also were blind. They couldn't see what God was doing in their own synagogue because it didn't meet the criteria by which they saw truth. So they missed it, and so they were, we could say, spiritually blind or maybe lacking understanding. But you have all these blind people. There was also domestic blindness in verse 21. When they bring the parents in, and his parents answered them and said, we know this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he sees, we do not know. For he opened his eyes, and we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He can speak for himself. The social pressure of sticking up for their own son was so high that they kind of cut him loose a little bit. And that's not so far from Ron's house either. But you have here then at the end of the chapter, you have the blind man coming back to find Jesus. Verse 35, Jesus answered, heard that they had cast him out, and when they had found him, he said to him, do you believe the Son of God? And he answered and said, now, this is a very interesting response. Who is he, Lord, that I may believe? You got to remember that he was still blind when he met him first. So he was searching for someone he couldn't see, he couldn't remember. So he was searching for someone he didn't know, other than that he had profoundly impacted his life. So he's searching. And Jesus answered him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you. And he said in verse 38, he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And that is, this man spent a lifetime begging and listening to the opinions of the people around him about why he existed. You know, he probably heard people discussing his parents. There's got to be sin in their life somewhere. I mean, goodness, I wish they would just bring it into the light. You know, and he would have grown up in that environment. And he came to Jesus, he said, and he found the answer to his heart's cry. And that's why I see myself in the blind man. Like I said, I was 27 years old when I met the Lord. I had basically spent my youth and my young adult years trying to find the Lord. And I wouldn't say that's the fault of anybody else. It's just the way I was programmed as a young boy. I knew the truth, but I didn't want the truth. And I knew that quite young. And I wanted to live my own life, but I didn't want to leave the church, because the church is a good place to be if things go railroad in your life. So I wanted both lives, and I worked very hard to keep both worlds separated. And there was many times where I felt like I was getting into a jam, and I would go to a revival meeting and go to an altar call to get saved. And I don't know how many times where I grew up, there was lots of altar calls. That was kind of the way it was done. The last night or every night there'd be an altar call, so you could go up and confess your sin. But every time I came to God there, and the reason I didn't find the Lord there was I've always went with conditions. You know, I wanted to be saved. I didn't want to burn in hell. I knew that for sure. But I didn't want to forgive people I hated. I didn't want to surrender my life to Christ. I just didn't want to burn in hell. That was for sure. I knew that. And I had a terrible phobia of going to hell. That was something that would keep me up at night. So, as you can imagine, I got married. Our oldest son was almost three. When I came to a crisis in my life, I could no longer keep those worlds apart. So, that's how I wound up in Alabama, actually. I told the Lord, give me 30 days. I'll give you 30 days to show me that you're alive and real. And if you are, I'll serve you. And if you're not, then we'll just cut it loose here. And at the church I was attending at the time, there was a man there that worked in prison ministry. And he stood up the one Sunday morning and asked for volunteers to come help him in the prison ministry. And I thought, he had these flyers, right? And there was a picture at the bottom there, and I seen all these criminals at the altar praying, and it struck me, I said, I wonder what gospel they preach there that all these thugs are getting born again. I really wonder what gospel they preach there. It must be very effective. I knew very little bit about that world, so I signed up as a kind of, not really a preacher, but kind of like, I went from cell to cell preaching the gospel to people. So what is that? A low level evangelist, I guess. And when I was there doing my thing, I met a man in prison there who led me to the Lord. And that is, if you're a seeker tonight and you're just looking for somebody to take you, it is, God will do that for you if you cry out to him. So send someone into your life to help you find Christ. I'll just maybe narrow it down. He was a man there with two life sentences, so he knew he would never get out of prison. And Christ visited him in prison and told him he was a gang guy, a banger or whatever, and he was really bitter and angry that he was there. And the Lord came to him and he said, the reason you're in prison is because I want to save you. He said, if you would be in the gang life still, you'd be dead. They would have killed you by now, and you'd be in hell, unsaved. So I brought you to prison so you would find me. And by default, I saved you. And that was kind of how what he talked to me about. And I started to realize it. I stood there, and it's kind of like that light the Bible talks about just finally shone into my heart. And I realized that, you know. And I remember he addressed the bitterness in my life. And all the, I had a long list of people that, you know, I wanted to, at some level, settle scores with, right? And he just showed me that's just folly. You need to let it go. He helped me to understand that the circumstances in our lives that we react to negatively are often God's way of bringing us to the light and deeper into the kingdom. And he also taught me that we need to come to God without any conditions, just as a sinner that needs to be saved. So as it went there, every evening there was a revival meeting. We'd bring all the people that had listened that during the day into an area about like this. And the evangelist would get up, and because everybody's prisoners, and it was a 100% male environment. I mean, they really let them have it like that. They got like 5 minutes to preach the gospel to these people. So there's no mincing of words. It's if 10 minutes of the gospel, then the guards come in and file everybody back to their cells, and the free people go out to one side. And I remember standing there and just saying, that's exactly who I am. And I so desperately wanted to be saved. So the bell rang in the prison. They came in to lead out the criminals, and I ran over to the evangelist that was preaching, and I told him, I want to be saved, just like that, whatever you were talking about. And yeah, he said, well, you should pray like some prayer, something out of Romans or something. And I said, I've done all that already, lots of times. I was desperate. So he prayed for me, and I said, I just want to be saved somehow. And that's where my Christian life started. For the first time in my life, verses like 1 John 5:10 started to mean something to me, that he that is born of Christ has the witnesses in himself that he has been born of God. And so I came home and you know, life went on, and I've tasted deep sadness. I've experienced incredible joy, like all of you. So I'm sure you have your story too. But through it all, God has been faithful to me, and even meeting Edith was something God did for me that was, I think, very special for me. And we'll maybe have to tell you that story another time, but I guess the main point I'd like to leave you with is in John 9, if you go back here and look at it again a little bit. In verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And that's a question for all of us. Do you believe in the Son of God? Are you a man of religion, or are you a man of faith, or a woman of faith? And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." I was just casually observing. We have a lot of people here that aren't very old. A lot of young people actually sitting here tonight. And as I was observing that, I was thinking in my mind, you know, a lot of times as young people, we ask that question too: "Who are you, Lord? Reveal your life. Reveal your will to me. Reveal your truth to me." You know, you're at the beginning of life. You have a lot of things that, a lot of decisions that you will make. You know, by the time you're in your late 20s, early 30s, that will set the course of your life. And God says that if you seek me, you'll find me. And I will never hide myself from those who seek me. And that would be my testimony tonight, in a nutshell, that God sought me out, he found me, and he has brought me here in this stage of my life. And I would encourage you all that way. Well, maybe I'll just leave it there for tonight and turn it back to whoever's closing.